101.9 High FM, One Nation, One Station.
Joining us on the line, as he does every Wednesday, fresh off the back of an enormously successful, ridiculously ambitious, I think, Jewish Achievers event on Sunday night. Before we talk about our other topics, Howard Sexton, I just want to congratulate you on an absolutely phenomenal evening. It literally took my breath away.
Thank you. It was so much hard work. You have no idea, but it was the most magnificent production I think anyone could ever have imagined.
Absolutely.
71 videos strung together, 134 people interviewed. Viewership is just off the charts. It's somewhere between 30 and 50,000 people amazing. Having watched at home and around the world.
Amazing.
It's just amazing.
It really is. And what I love is that you can say it was really hard work, but it didn't look like it. And that was the best thing. You know, when that package arrived at our door, it just seemed so obvious. It seemed so easy. Everything was there. Okay, the Prosecco wasn't chilled. I did have to chill it, but it came early enough to be able to do that. And it was just absolutely stunning. So well done to you. Well done to your team, who have no doubt I don't want to look at you again for the next few weeks.
Months, maybe years.
Okay, I was being generous, but well done. Absolutely superb. Ambitious, I don't know. I think ambitious on a completely different level. But you did it, you pulled it off, and it is really, really spectacular. So well done to you on that.
Thank you, and if people haven't watched, they can still go watch on YouTube. We're getting at the moment a few thousand views per day of people busy watching at the moment. So if you go into YouTube and just look for the SA Jewish Report, and you can search for on that channel, you can search for the Jewish Achiever Awards. And it really is just the most spectacular celebration of what our community has done during the period of COVID and the true heroes of the fight against the pandemic. And it's feel good, and the entertainment is amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, Howard, the Maccabees, you know well, and they're a fantastic international group, and they did the song for us. But they didn't stand out in comparison to the local performance. I mean, we had such talent. All together.
I'm controversial, but to me, Bibi and Khoni G stole my heart. That it was probably the least obviously polished, because it's this little kid, and they embraced Khoni, played with it, and embraced the non-polished. Now, if you have the time to watch, go and I hope you. In fact, I meant to ask you this: are you going to break up some of the features at all?
Yes, we are, and we're going to put them on as individual units on YouTube as well. But, you know, we're sitting in the editing studio for days, and Khoni was busy saying, you know, he's got a key change here, and this doesn't end well. And I kept on saying, Khoni, we're not trying to win a Grammy Award.
No, but you won
hearts.
We're
trying to win people's hearts.
And it did.
And
it did.
And it did.
It actually brought tears to my eyes. I thought it was, and it was done with such humor and love and grace. And I thought that was to me that was superb. And I thought Gilly Aptica was absolutely brilliant. And as I said to Dina on Monday on the show, to carry off a one-dimensional, almost a comedic show is so difficult. People have not managed it this year. It's one of the biggest challenges, is to try and find entertainment in this way where people are performing just to a screen virtually. And she did it. I thought she was an incredible, incredible MC. Probably one of the best that I've seen.
She was dry, and she was sarcastic, and she was just witty. You know, I mean, she used to write much of Nick Rabinowitz's material. She's working on the Tully Diaries in Cape Town at the moment. She's just a comedy genius.
Absolutely.
And she just pulled it off absolutely beautifully.
Yeah, it was really superb. But that's not what we're talking about, even though I really just simply couldn't help myself. But we are talking about American – well, actually, we're talking – about ageism in a way, aren't we? Because When we look at Joe Biden, and okay, the last weekend he tried to play with the dogs and that didn't end well. He's now in a moon boot for the foreseeable future.
Well, I love the fact that Jimmy Kimmel said, you know, first he gave Donald Trump the boot and now Trump seems to have given him
the boot. I love that. That's awesome. But there's also been, obviously, and you and I have discussed this many times on the show before, his mental agility does seem to be, not so agile. We've seen the Queen holding on. I mean, what is she, 143 or something at the moment?
So the Queen is 94.
Okay, I'm calling her a liar.
Which is young and strong. She seems to be in fantastic shape for 94. Mm. But her main objective in life seems to be to outlive Charles and prevent him from becoming king.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
yeah, and she's doing pretty well.
Because Charles has been waiting for this job for, 72 years now?
Yeah, it's just a bit strange. Like, I wonder if they ever sit down and he says, Mom,
what are
like,
you
it's
doing?
Enough yeah. now. It's enough.
Time to retire.
Yeah, yeah.
And she says, I've got many years still ahead of me, because her mother, the Queen Mother, died at 101.
Oh, so she's got
yeah,
a
she
lot
really
of time.
Does. This poor yeah. Charles. Poor Charles.
I think this Queen's got at least another 10 years in
but
her.
But you know how
which
mothers
would put
always
Charles at, like, in his early 80s.
Yeah, maybe she thinks he's still a little wet behind the ears.
Yes,
you know?
I think that's why.
Okay, and he's got big ears. So, but that's something completely different, I think. So, yeah, and then of course Putin, and he's been in charge for 12 years. He's not so well either from some of the reports I'm reading.
Well, Putin, who's age 68, has actually been in office as either prime minister or president since 1999.
That is a long time.
He found this fantastic loophole in the Russian constitution that said you can't have more than two consecutive terms.
Mm.
So he was prime minister, then he did two terms as president, then he did two terms as prime minister again. Then he did another two terms as president. So he keeps on swapping position, but the power suddenly moves from the presidency to the prime minister and then back again as he keeps on swapping these positions. He has no intention of giving up.
Well,
power.
It's actually so funny because as I was saying it, I was thinking, hold on, is he prime minister or president? Because it's like Stalingrad, Leningrad, St. Petersburg. You never know where you're going to catch this at any given time. Yeah.
And, you know, you have to think, at what point in time does the human mind reach its greatest potential, and when does it start its decline? So you've got all of these leaders, and most world leaders seem to be there in their 60s and 70s with a good smattering in their 80s. And we know from people around us, I mean, you can be quite compass mentis in your 80s, but you're probably not at your peak.
Mm. Yeah.
And the question comes, well, you really want your president at your peak, and who are the great presidents and world leaders today, and how old are they? And you have to think that, for example, JFK was 43 when he became president of America, and Barack Obama was 47, and Jacinda Ardern, when she took office, was in fact 37, and Justin Trudeau 39. And are we holding on to power for too long and preventing a younger, more vibrant generation of leaders coming to the fore? I'm sorry, Howard, to me, you're probably too old to become president.
What? At 50, 52? That isn't too old.
Yeah.
I'm in my prime right now.
You think you're in your prime, but that's because your mental agility is not there.
No, that's true. I can't remember what you just. I can't even remember what you just. I don't even know what you just asked me. What was that?
But you know, when you think Mahmoud Abbas is 85, and Michelle Ayoun in Lebanon also 85, and the Queen, you know, Raul Castro is 89, but the Queen is the oldest world leader today at 94.
Although the difference being, she probably doesn't really need to make a single decision in the day.
Well, if you watch The Crown, you realize her hardest thing in life is to keep quiet. You know, that seems to be her job.
Look, I can identify with that.
Your job, Howard, is not to keep quiet.
I know, but it's the hardest thing sometimes to keep quiet. But that's a whole different conversation. So, you know, we live in an age of tremendous sensitivity, and we don't want to be, you know, we obviously don't want to be racist. We don't want to be any cyst and sexist. We certainly don't want to be, are we in danger, therefore, of being ageist?
Well, you know, you have to look at the American presidential elections and the two candidates who stood, you know, and you have to say, oh, is this the best that America has to offer? But, you know, if you think Biden today, and he seems to be mentally fine. He really does. I mean, we joke about him. He tripped over his dog. Mm. He's got a hairline fracture in his leg. It's not like he broke his hip and he can't get up. But that having been said, two more terms in office.
No, I mean, at 78, there's very little chance he's got two more terms. He's got two terms. It's even doubtful whether, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if he has one. Although he is in good shape. I can't tell you mentally. And we don't know really what is just media and a deliberate attempt to discredit him during the election. We don't know that either really. Those close to him will know, and ultimately it will leak if there is a problem. But, you know, I certainly, you know, didn't want him to win, but I'm not sure that Donald Trump is mentally so stable either. Let's not kid. And he was younger.
Well, we know who you did want to win, and clearly mental stability was not part of the requirement.
Because I think mental stability is overrated.
Especially as a world leader.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's so interesting that, you know, we certainly, Bibi in Israel is certainly not getting any younger either, although.
Well, of course, Bibi is 71 at the moment.
Yeah, so maybe
he's the longest serving prime minister in Israel's history.
So I'd love your thoughts on 3, 4, 5, 1, and 9. Do you think that there should be an age limit on leadership? And should there be, or perhaps it's really also just about the time, because there are two factors that we're really talking about, isn't it, Howard? We're talking about the amount of time in office, and we're talking about the age. You know, we see it with community organizations as well. When people hold on to certain positions for an incredible amount of time, invariably what that does is stifle newer people from coming in, different people, different thoughts, different ideas. There is a concept that in community leadership as well as government, think people should move on. Look at the ANC in terms of age. It is horrific, because they just haven't necessarily created a culture that has allowed younger people to come through the system. And maybe that's one of our problems in this.
You know, the other question is how young. So the Americans, for example, say you can't become president unless you are a minimum of 35 years of age.
I wasn't aware of that, actually. That's interesting. Which kind of makes sense.
And, well, I don't know. You know, if a fantastic 20-year-old suddenly burst on the scene, would we say, no, not enough life experience, you can't come lead us?
I don't know. If I think of my children, oi.
You're just like
I would hate any of them to lead a country.
You're just like the queen. No,
are you calling me a queen? You know, honestly, that is just so not okay.
Do you need some grey hairs in order to be a true wise leader? And do we even need wisdom? I mean, maybe wisdom is what startles us. You know, I always often in business, you meet people and they've been enormously successful and you think, my goodness, this is the biggest imbecile I've ever met. How on earth did they do it? And the answer is they were too stupid to understand risk. So they just went ahead and did things that normal, wiser people would never ever try because it was just too risky. But because they were too stupid, they went ahead and did it and became enormously successful as a result. And maybe we need a little bit of that in world leadership, communal leadership, in everything, to try things and not be frightened of failure.
I think you make a very, very good point. When we study entrepreneurship, one of the biggest impacts, negative impacts on a bad investment or a bad experience isn't the loss of money, isn't what happened along the way, but actually the fear that it might instill in the person and the skepticism that it might instill in the person for the next venture. And that's why when we look at entrepreneurship, there's certain people that are real entrepreneurs, because even after a failure, they aren't jaded by that negativity. And what you're saying is absolutely right, is sometimes just simply living and going through hardships, life experience can wear a person down to the point that they are afraid of creativity and lack courage to do things that they would have done some years back. And maybe sometimes that's exactly what the world needs in terms of leadership.
And, you know, we have to be thinking in our own community as well. Like, how do we get younger people involved? Like, we need new thinking. We need new ideas. We need people who understand the new world and the way we're communicating within the new world. You know, having been in office 10, 20, 30, 40 years in some of these communal structures, we're just stifling all innovation in our own community.
Yeah, it's a very, very real issue within community, is to try and encourage a change of leadership. And it doesn't need to be just sort of handing over and moving along, but it needs to be a way that we encourage younger people to get involved. And I'm sure there's not a community organization that doesn't struggle with this, because also younger people in many ways are busy. They might have younger families. They're trying to build a career. So often in when it comes to community leadership, it's the older people who can settle a little bit in terms of maybe their own time and capacity, that have the ability to give more to community and to community organizations. But that in fact has to change, because we do have to get younger people, and those younger people have kids who need to see that their parents are involved with community service and giving things back to the community. And it becomes a cycle even then for the next generation. But it also requires a willingness on the older leadership to hand over, step aside, or pull in younger people.
You know, there's this arrogance that no one else can do it as well as me. No one else is qualified, knowledgeable enough, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, that's right. No one can do it like you, but they shouldn't want to do it like you. They should want to do it completely differently. And that's where the magic begins.
I absolutely love it. And that's where we're going to leave it, because it is a very, very inspiring and important note.